It is so good to be with you tonight. We are in the book of John, chapter 10, studying in our Through the Bible Study series, and we are considering the Good Shepherd. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, John chapter 10, and our discussing the Good Shepherd is just integral in our hearts and lives and in our understanding of the kingdom and our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We go through a whole entire series when you first get saved and start working in the church or get to be a part of the fabric of the family with a series called A Shepherd Looks at Psalms 23. And then the next one you go through is A Shepherd Looks at the Good Shepherd and A Shepherd Looks at the Lamb of God. It's our Shepherd's Trilogy that each and every one of you go through in their study guides where we look at the relationship we have with the Lord and get this understanding of the Lordship of Christ. And him not just being a guest in our lives, but the Lord of our lives and that intimacy that takes place and how the shepherd looks at us and how he relates to us. And it is a profound and one of the most favorite studies that anybody is a part of here at Covenant of Grace Ministry. And I'm going to take some notes from that as we talk about John chapter 10. And get your Bibles out and let's explore the Word and let God have his way. We should be further along in the book of John study. I know that. A lot of the groups are already done and starting next week, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, those who are going through the Bible study series. But we're not quite there yet because Brother Boston has kind of digressed and also didn't want to miss out on some things. We will get through the book of John and we will get into that next quarterly series. But it won't be immediately, okay? So enjoy yourselves as we get into the Word, and let God bless you today as we consider the Good Shepherd. Now, one of the things I want you to know is that the Good Shepherd and this picture of the Lord being our Good Shepherd is paramount in our understanding of God and how he relates to us. Because where he leads, I will follow. Where he leads me is where I need to be. There are times I need to be, and I'm grazing in the low valleys. Sometimes I'm grazing in the hills. But whatever the circumstance or environment, he is there and guiding me for a particular reason and a part of my development in my Christian walk. And as we understand the Good Shepherd, we know that he cares for his sheep. And the sheep know him. They know his voice. And they're alert to it. And one of the things you learn as you would study the Shepherd series here at Covenant Grace, or as you gain your first and second, third and fourth steps, stages in your Christian relationship with God, that this understanding of shepherd and sheep is so integral within your life and how you best can relate to the kingdom. We're not being engrafted into a church that is just a religious institution. It's just not a religious institution that has all sorts of formulas and rules to go by. We are part of and symbiotic in a relationship to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's fluid and it's emotional. It's practical. It's intellectual. It's spiritual and everything else. Amen. And so as you understand and get to know more so how you relate to the Good Shepherd, the better off you're going to be. One of the reasons I call those who are our leaders of our neighborhood groups, our shepherd leaders, is because that's who they are. They're people that care after you, and you have this relationship with them. They are not just there to lord over you or be the, quote, a preacher over you or teacher or anything else. They are to be in relationship with you to help you to grow in the grace of God and guide you in your faith. Guide you in your faith. And so I want you to understand that we are on a road that God wants us to traverse upon where we all go at our own level of speed. And each one of us needs to tend to it diligently. And don't be looking to the left and don't be looking to the right and say, well, brother and sister, so-and-so, Brother Boston, was so far ahead of me. Don't worry about it. Just spend your time in the presence of God, get into the Word of God, have this wonderful relationship with the Lord, and let God bless you within the fellowship of his people. Amen? Just do that, okay? So get what you can out of tonight's teaching, and I'm going to kind of draw back to some of our lessons that we do as well with our Shepherd series. But John chapter 10, let's get John chapter 10 out. I'm physically not 100% tonight, guys, but I'm going to minister to you the best I can. And I pray that the Lord will minister to us. John chapter 10, verse 1. I'm going to read from the NIV version of the Bible, if you don't mind today. Verily, truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep gate through the proper pen, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Anybody who comes in a different way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. The sheep know his voice, and the true sheep of God's church aren't going to follow a stranger. They're going to recognize the difference. Okay? When you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, there's some things you learn, and there is a real trust factor between you and the good shepherd and your leadership capacity within the church where there are proper shepherd leaders. And those shepherd leaders must be those who have the heart after God and the heart after you. And they must care for you as much as they tend to their own lives so that you can grow in the grace and the knowledge of God and be tended to in such a way that is comfortable with the Father, that the Father's love would be shared through those who are in leadership. And for you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his caring for you and how he leads and guides you is so important in your development in your Christian walk. Because if you understand that his intentions are good and he leads you by the still waters, he restores your soul, he helps you upon life's pathways, you will recognize the goodness of God even in the times of chastisement and correction that you go through because you know the Lord wants to protect you, preserve you, and use you. He wants to protect you, preserve you, and use you. Okay? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. But who is the Lord? What is his character? Does he have adequate credentials to be my shepherd, my manager, and my owner? Many of you have heard me preach the message considering, is he the Lord of your life or a guest? And how so many times in our lives, we do not allow God to truly have the intimate areas of our life in and under his supervision. And how that shortcuts God's ability to help you to grow in the full knowledge of the Lord. But if you recognize him as the Lord who cares for you and his intentions are good, you will relinquish your control and allow the good shepherd to be the manager of your life, your owner, so to speak. If he is the Lord of your life and he is under control, I promise you, you will be the object of his concern, his diligence, and his care. One of the calamities of Christianity is our tendency to talk in, let's say, ambiguous generalities. Okay? It's a problem we have. David, the author of the poem in Book of Psalms, considering what we read of in Psalm 23, considering the Good Shepherd, is himself a shepherd and the son of a shepherd. And so he truly understands the subject he's dealing with and the God who he's talking about. When he talks about the shepherd king, when he talks about this Lord of life as the good shepherd, he's talking in a very intimate fashion because he understands the role. And the more we get to understand the Lord and understand His work in our lives and trusting in Him, we'll understand His divine purpose in our lives if we make Him the Lord of our life. David referred to Him as Jehovah, the Lord God of Israel, but He was so much more than that. His statement was confirmed by Jesus the Christ. When He was God incarnate among men, He declared emphatically, "I am the Good Shepherd." But who was this Christ? Our view of Him is often too small, too cramped, too provincial to humanize our understanding. And because it is almost too human, and we don't quite understand and grasp the ownership of our lives under the Master's hands. He it was who was directly responsible for the creation of all things, both natural and supernatural. In Colossians 1:15-20, it tells us that. If we pause to reflect on the person of Christ, on His power and upon His achievements, suddenly, like David, we will be glad to state proudly, "The Lord, He is my shepherd." But before we do this, it helps to hold clearly in mind the particular part played upon our history by God the Father and through the power of sonship and the grace of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. Father is the author of, or let's say, originator of all that exists. It was in His mind first that all took shape. The Son, our Savior, is the God who is the artisan, the artist, the creator of all that exists. He brought into being all that had been originally formulated in His Father's mind. The Holy Spirit is God that works as an agent to present these facts to both mine and my spiritual understanding so that they become both real and relative to me as an individual. Now, the beautiful relationships given to us repeatedly in Scripture between God and man are those of a father to his children and a shepherd to his sheep. These concepts were first conceived in the mind of God, our Father. They were made possible and practical through the work of Christ. They are confirmed and made real in me through the agency of the gracious Holy Spirit. He is a shepherd who guides. He's a shepherd who mends. He's a shepherd who cares. He's a shepherd who directs. And He watches the affairs of His sheep. How we relate to Him and how we relate to one another is so important. But we must remember in all of it that we must have a heart after Him and relinquish our control and let Him be Lord of our lives. Because if we allow Him to be the Lord of our lives, we will begin to show forth His character, His likeness, and show forth His grace to each and every one we come in contact to, developing the fruit of the Spirit and walking in the love of God, and walking in that agape love like He shows that agape to love to us each and every day. Will help each and every one of us to walk in synchronization in our purpose in the kingdom and in the power and in the will of God. We need to understand that. You know, our Lord is our shepherd. And it implies a profound sense of practicality in our lives. That one of relationships. It links a lump of common clay to divine destiny. It means a mere mortal becomes the cherished object of divine diligence. This thought alone should stir your spirit and quicken us into an awareness of the enormous dignity that God has shown and He is, and that we as individuals have been given an illumination of through the grace in the heart of God. To think that God in Christ is deeply concerned about me as a particular person immediately gives great purpose and enormous meaning to my short sojourn upon this planet. Think about it. The God of the universe, the one who spoke creation into existence, is intimately desiring a relationship with you. Amen. David in the Psalms is speaking not as a shepherd in Psalm 23, is speaking not as the shepherd, though he was, but as a sheep, one of the flock. He spoke with a strong sense of pride and a devotion and admiration. It was as though he literally boasted aloud, "Look at my shepherd. He is my owner. He's my manager. He is the Lord who is." After all, he knew from firsthand experience, the lot in life of any particular sheep depended on the type of man who owned it. Some men were gentle, kind, intelligent, brave, and selfless in their devotion to their stock. Under one man, sheep would struggle, starve, and suffer endless hardship. In another's care, they would flourish and thrive contentedly. So if the Lord is my shepherd, I should know something of his character and understanding something of his ability. My Lord cares for me. He wants to share with me, and he wants to guide me in all the ways of his righteousness, that I might take hold of his goodness. My God is not a God who is belligerent, uncaring, and vicious and cruel. And we who are in leadership in any way, shape, or form in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ need to have the very same attitude. Don't pick up the character traits of the world and try to use those demeaning, demonic, and deplorable characteristics in caring for God's people or sharing with God's people or trying to control God's people. Because it will not work, it will not be productive, and it's not eternal. Amen. Too often we look at the world and we want to emulate it when we are supposed to be the reflection of what God is and how God wants men and women to relate in their character, likeness, and everyday life to one another. He wants us to show the good life. He wants us to show the shepherd's love. He wants us to show the care of God. And he wants the world to be jealous. He wants the world to be jealous of Christians because of the favor shown by the Father's love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you got to give him a chance. Hallelujah. I belong to him simply because he deliberately chose to create me as the object of his own affection. Let me say that again. Write this down. Put this in your hearts. I belong to him simply because he deliberately chose to create me as the object of his own affection. You and I are the object of the Lord's affection. You might have someone you love in your life very much so. You might have a child. You might have a spouse, brothers and sisters, etc. And you have an affection for them. You have a love. You have a concern for them. Our Papa in heaven has the same for us. Our Lord desires for us to be in symbiotic relationship with him. Amen. It is patently clear that most men and women refuse to acknowledge this fact. Their deliberate attempts to deny that such a relationship even exists or could exist between a man and his maker demonstrate their abhorrence for admitting that anyone really can claim ownership or authority over them by virtue of bringing them into being. This was, of course, the enormous risk or calculated chance, if we may use the term, which God took in making man in the very beginning of time. But in his usual magnanimous manner, he took the second step in attempting to restore this relationship, which is repeatedly breached by men who turn their backs upon him. Again, in Christ, he demonstrated at Calvary the deep desire of his heart to have men come under his benevolent care. He himself absorbed the penalty for their pervasive sins, stating clearly that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, verse 6. Thus, in a second very real and vital sense, I truly belong to him simply because he has both brought me again out of the deep miry clay and paid an incredible price for me and has laid down his own being that I might become redeemed, restored in proper relationship with God. So there remains the moving realization that we have been bought with a price, that we are really not our own, and he is well within his rights to lay claim over our lives. But are we willing to relinquish the ownership of our own lives and allow him to be the owner of it? Oh, precious Lord, sheep do not just take care of themselves, my friends, as some might suppose. They require more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care. Sheep can't really take care of themselves, guys. And we are sheep. You know, we're not made in a way that allows us to take care of ourselves. There's almost a requirement that somebody help and care for us. And our Father's care for us is so genuine and unique. It is no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways, as will be seen throughout our lives by our mob instincts and our given over to fears and timidity and yielding to stubbornness and stupidity or perverse habits or perilous and profound impatience in so many ways and regards. Yet despite these adverse characteristics, Christ chooses us, buys us, calls us by name, makes us his own, and delights in caring for us. It is in this last aspect, which is really the third reason why we are under obligation to recognize his ownership of us. He literally lays himself out for our continuality. He is ever interceding for us. He is ever guiding us by his gracious spirit. He is ever working on our behalf to ensure that we will benefit from his care. In fact, Psalm 23 might well be called David's hymn of praise to divine diligence. David's hymn of praise to divine diligence. For the entire poem goes on to recount the manner in which the good shepherd spares no pains for the welfare of his sheep, spares no pains for the welfare of his sheep. Little wonder that the poet took pride in belonging to the good shepherd. Why shouldn't he? Hallelujah. He cares for me. He gave it all for me. He wants me to share in his glory. I want you to know today he is the shepherd who is reaching out from heaven and loves you so very, very much. Look at verse 4 of chapter 10 again of the book of John. When the shepherd has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. We live in a world where there are many voices crying out to us, wanting us to go this way, wanting us to go that way, trying to carry us in all sorts of directions. And it is so important to have that intimate relationship with the Lord and the voice we respond to being that which is of our Lord. And being in the care of true shepherds or under shepherds under God's direction, that we can be rightly guided within the parameters of family and everyday care through the church and also through the divine attention that God gives us each and every day and that intimate relationship we have with Papa. But too many times we get impatient, we get frustrated, we don't like the correction, we get absolutely out of sync with things, we kind of sneak out of the sheepfold and try to get a taste of the world, and we forget about the goodness of God. We forget about His divine attention. We forget about His intimacy, and we don't really listen to His voice. And somehow, the Lord's voice seems to not really be what it used to be to us. And He's just another voice in the crowd. He's just another voice. We make a great mistake in our lives when we do such things. And we need to get back on track and recognize the goodness of God in the intent of Father. One of the most important lessons, I always teach it every year within the fabric of one or two messages that I bring to the congregation, etc., is understanding God's intent. Because if we understand God's intentions and that they are good, and we look at it in the fabric of all covenantal relationship, from Old to New Testament, and see how He related and God's intentions from Old to New, we recognize that God has not changed. Circumstances have. But we are still His people, His creation. And He wants us all to be redeemed from this world and walking in love and light. And His intentions are good, and He wants you to succeed, but too many times we make bad choices. We don't listen to the voice of the Lord, and we're listening to the voices of the world and our own carnal instincts too often. Be very careful about people in this world who don't have your intent in mind. There's a lot of people out there who tell you they have your good intentions, but do they? Or otherwise, are they manipulating you or just trying to make you do something? Because they want you to accomplish something for them. They really don't care what totally really happens to you whatsoever. This world's full of that. In politics, in church, in my workplace, in your workplace, in all sorts of places. Why? Because people don't care sometimes how they get what they get. And how much of it they want to get from you. Hello? And you've got to be careful. Be on guard. Put on the whole armor of God. That you might be able to overcome the enemy. And to stand for the Lord. Put on the helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness. Loin girt with truth. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of the wicked. Be complete in Him. When I am complete in Him, I'm a conqueror. When I'm complete in Him, I'm an overcomer. When I'm complete in Him, I have the victory. But when I go out gallivanting my own way, getting outside of the sheepfold, not listening to the Father's voice, getting so far away from the Lord that I can't even hear His voice, I'm in trouble. And thieves and robbers will come in and steal. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, church. Jesus warned them against thieves and robbers who were not concerned for the welfare of the sheep, but for their own self-interest. That's what we have to be careful of. A lot of people are out there wanting to build their own little kingdoms, and you're just a little pawn in their lives to be able to be manipulated and used to get and make you a stepping stone. Thieves and robbers would try to sneak into the fold through some way other than through the proper entrance that is the gate. Sheep pens were commonly walled structures made out of stones or bricks and were often partially roofed. Sometimes there were caves in the hills. A gate would close the only opening to the fold, protecting the sheep against the malicious bandits and predatory animals. Who were these thieves and robbers Jesus was referring to? Since Jesus had recently condemned the Pharisees, Jesus' listeners undoubtedly included these leaders among the thieves. Certainly the Pharisees and had set themselves up as, who had set themselves up as the shepherds of God's people. And they weren't the shepherds of God's people. And had been turned over to the enemy and were trying to lead people astray against Jesus. First century AD Pharisees were not the only bandits Jesus was talking about, though, I'll tell you. They weren't the only ones. And there are many different ones today as well, who try to lure people away from the things of God and being in the sheepfold. Unlike thieves and robbers, the shepherd would enter through the gate. Only the shepherds who guarded the sheep had the right to enter the fold through the entrance. The watchman knew this, and that is why he would open the gate for the shepherds. Much speculation has been written about who the watchman in the allegory represents. For instance, some believe the watchman represents leaders in the church who make sure that no one but Christ is guiding their congregations. In fact, however, there may be no symbolism necessarily intended. In any case, the sheep would know the voice of their shepherd, who would call them by their name. Since a pen often enclosed several herds of sheep, each shepherd had a unique name for calling the sheep from among the other sheep. The shepherd not only would bring them out of the pen, but also go ahead of them. A good shepherd in Palestine would never drive his sheep from behind. He would never drive his sheep from behind, but trained the animals to follow him by listening to his voice. We're not to drive God's people. We're not to push God's people. We're not to beat God's people. We're not to threaten God's people. We're supposed to lead and guide God's people and show them the truth, the life, and the way. One day, Moses was a journey, trying to take the people out of the land of bondage in Egypt. He had to cross a Red Sea, and he was going to be used supernaturally with a staff and by the power of God to do so. But it took faith, and he went ahead with it. And when that staff went forward, and when it went forward, the water separated on both sides, and God did miraculous works. But they were following him. And we follow a leader whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. Too many pastors are threatening. Too many pastors are driving. Too many pastors are pushing. And they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead their congregations, to show the heart of God. And if you have God's people in your heart and you share that love, they will follow because they know your intentions are good. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 11, if you will, of John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Hallelujah. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus resumed his discourse with another allegorical statement. I am the gate for the sheep. In verse 7. Some sheep pens did not have a gate, and the shepherd himself would serve as a door by lying across the opening. This would not only keep the sheep within the fold, but also keep would-be intruders out. In addition, a good shepherd would inspect his sheep at the gate and tend to their needs and wounds. Jesus is constantly looking out for his sheep, checking for the wounds and ready to heal. His primary point was that as the one gate to the fold, he is the one who determines who could enter in to the kingdom of God. He protected it. He was there. He tended to the sheep, and he was willing to lay down his life for those sheep. No matter what the cost, he was willing to lay down his life for those sheep. Too many people do not care for one another to the extent that Jesus is demonstrating here in the scripture. They don't want to heal the wounds. They don't want to take care of the person intimately. They just want to be kind of, okay, you stay over there and whatnot. I'll tell you what to do. but not get involved, not touch your life, not minister in a way of intimacy, that really puts them in cooperation and in collaboration with you in this life's journey. Hallelujah. When I'm going through a struggle, when I'm going through a trial, I find out who my friends are. Hello? You find out who your friends are. It's amazing how many people disappear when the going gets tough, or when there's questions or things or accusations thrown at you. But your good friends and those who know you, who know you're walking after God and trying to do the things of the Lord, they bring forth their lives in a position where they actually either protect or supportive in one way or another. And they prove their intentions are pure, and they prove that their heart is right. And you know those and find out those who you can go into whatever battle with when it comes to serving God. Hallelujah. In the good times and bad, praise his name. He's forever the same. And our Lord is always there and leading and guiding us. But you find out who your friends are many times in those difficult moments. You know, it's easy to be around people when everything's going good, everybody's smiling and laughing and everything else. It's a different thing when, hey, things don't seem like they are and things are confusing and whatever. But if you're being led by God and your friends are being led by God, those who are walking in the Spirit, walking in things of God, they're going to stand with you. They're going to work with you. And they are going to let God be God. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Lord is so good. The Lord is so good. Let's look at verse 11 again. Hold on, I got to get my Bible one more time here. I sat down there for a moment. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When somebody's a hired hand, or they're just somebody who's really just not really committed to the job, when things get tough, they kind of disappear pretty quick. Or they let the sheep get slaughtered, whatever it is. They don't really care. They just care for their own good more than anything else. And especially when it comes to pastoring churches and different things, you find out pretty quickly who are the hirelings and who are not. Those who are in it for the money, or those who are in there for the status, or those who are in it for this and that, you find out who they are. You know, I get kind of uncomfortable when a pastor has to sit up at the pulpit and sit there and say, you never have to worry about me, about the money in the church. Or you don't have to worry about me, about this, so-and-so, and so-and-so. I love my wife. Or this, you know, when they start constantly talking that kind of talk, you start to wonder, why are they making such a big point about that? Yeah, I tend to have my ears up, guys. You know, I see warning signs sometimes when I go to churches. Hallelujah. I visit a lot of churches. You know I do. Hallelujah. Brother Boston, I'm invited to go to various places. You know, Pastor Boston sees some things. And I want you to know, I sometimes wonder, why do you have to make such a point of that? I wouldn't make a point like that if I was a preacher and the pastor of a church. I wouldn't talk about that. I just do my business, preach God's word, and let the Lord show forth his glory. But when somebody has to sit there and talk about such and such time and time again, or says something, oh, you'll never have to worry about me, you know, don't be making that statement in the pulpit. Hello? Amen. You never have ever had to worry about Brother Boston coming up the pulpit and saying, well, you don't have to worry about this. You know, there are things you guys just know I'm not interested in, because my life lives it out, okay? And I don't know why the Lord's leading me in this direction, but I see too many preachers talk about different things being defensive that they don't need to be. And sometimes I'll quietly go and talk to them on the side and say, okay, I notice this coming from your lips, and I don't know why you're bringing this up. And I want you to know, if there's something you want to talk about, let's talk about it. Let's go into prayer about it. Let's, you know, I want you to be on the right side of Jesus. Okay? Hallelujah. I want to be somebody who can bless and help the young ministers, the pastors, the teachers in the body of Christ. I want to see everybody succeed. But I want also the body of Christ to have good shepherds, good leadership. and I want us to walk in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And sometimes I see these flags coming up that kind of make me a little nervous in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You speak too much, I guess you would say. You know, most times in my life when I defend myself too much, you know, I get myself in trouble. You know, when I sit there and try to be too defensive, you know. Hallelujah. You know it. You've been there. Come on. Don't be looking at me like that. It's truth, isn't it? The more you defend yourself, I think, oh, what's up here? Come on. Hallelujah. Maybe there's something you need to work on. Hallelujah. I know Debbie said that to me at times. Pat, you get a little bit too defensive. What's up? You're a little bit defensive. What's up? Are you sensitive there? Are you sensitive there? You know something? I appreciate it when she says that. Or a brother in Christ talks to me about something. So I say, you know, Brother Voss, you're a little defensive there. What's up? That's okay. That's okay. Gives me a chance to pause for a moment and say, okay, why am I? Or am I coming off that way? That's another thing you have to worry about, is maybe sometimes you do come off that way. You're not meaning to, but you come off that way. And you have to be careful how you react and how you demonstrate yourself around those you're around, okay? Hallelujah. That's a freebie, guys. That's a freebie. I just threw that one in there tonight. Okay, hallelujah, oh me, praise God. Okay, let's move on. We'll go back to verse 12, okay? The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep's pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock, and there shall be one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus, near the end of his time on his earthly ministry, is facing his last hours. And he says, not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. This is why I came here. I came here to lay down my life as sheep, to show God's love, to be the Redeemer, to show forth the Father's care, to show the way, the truth, and the life, so that people could understand who my Papa is and how God wants to relate to them. But here I am, and I don't want to take this cup away from my life, or this place I'm supposed to be, just because I'm in an awkward and terrible situation, and it's uncomfortable. But I do the will of my Father. When you relinquish and give your life to the Lord and just turn over to Him and give Him trust, that same trust He gave to the heavenly purposes of Father, He's asking you to do no different than what He has done. With no less submission, with no less dedication, with no less sacrifice. But His intentions are good. Because when he walked among us, what did he do? He healed the sick. He provided food. Made sure people were taken care of. Gave them the good word of God. Shared with them the love of God. Hallelujah. His intentions, and not just his intentions, but his actions, showed ultimate love. Hallelujah. He is the good shepherd. And he wants to guide you today. Remember, the good shepherd goes forward. People follow him. They're not driven by him. And sometimes in the church, we have that wrong. So wrong in how we deal with people and how we minister to one another. I don't want to drive people to the cross. I want to lead them to the cross. I don't want to drive people to get away from sin, I want to lead them away from sin. I don't want to just warn people of the darkness. I want to compel them out of the darkness. Are you with me? Hallelujah. He is the good shepherd, and he loves you so much. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the way. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, you be my Lord. You be my good shepherd. I yield it all to you. All of me I yield to you. God, it's my life is yours. Make my life a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. Help me, Lord, to be that piece of pottery, remolded and shapen in your image, that bears witness and pours out of its life the gift of God through the Holy Spirit that can give life. Let your love be shown through me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Thank you for being with us tonight. I pray that God's word has ministered to you.